Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That Hugh Douglas, the crowd here at Klondike Kates in Newark, Delaware, bringing us back with an Eagles chant.
That's awesome.
Oh, I get more pumped up. We got a game tomorrow night.
Yay.
Are you ready?
Not ready. Not ready yet.
You're not ready?
No.
You think the Eagles are ready?
Yes, they are.
Well, they better be. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. A pumped up crowd at Klondike Kates. Hugh holding his emotion back for tomorrow.
Yeah, man, you can't. You can't get all excited the day before
the
game.
Yes, you can.
You can't play
the
game
biggest
before the game
of the
is
year.
Actually being
Hugh,
played.
Hugh, you're not playing anything anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I'm
you're
not.
You're washed.
I'm washed. I'm washed. With a
fly,
capital W.
Eagles, fly.
Hey, I appreciate you keeping it perspective for me.
Well, we have to.
Every time I get out of line, you put me right back in. I appreciate
that. That's why we're here. They said, we're making Hugh the new midday guy. We need you to all to keep him in line. Kyle and Joe, can you do it? We said, yeah, we can. Today's show sponsored by Klondike Kate Sleigh Bar. Come and check out the pop-up Christmas sleigh bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. It is awesome here in Newark, Delaware. Come on out.
Get a nut job. It's a drink.
I'm glad you clarified.
It's a drink.
I know it's on the menu.
It's a drink. I tweeted out the picture, so it's $9.
It's a good deal for a drink.
Yeah.
What's in it?
It's a screwball Tia Maria coffee liqueur topped with whipped cream. Nut job, $9.
It sounds like a great deal. Hugh, you should go in advertising. You want to be a PR guy?
No, because the way you said it, you got to, like, I do know in PR,
yeah.
You got to say it the words that grabs people's attention right out the gate. Nothing grabs attention like nut job right out the gate.
Cut the audio, Kyle.
Nothing grabs attention like that. $9.
I agree.
I got to cut in here with some news.
Okay.
94 WIP breaking news.
Might not be long for this.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas suspended. To the principal's office.
Yeah, Hugh's in trouble. All right, Kyle. What is the news?
There's a minor thing. Well, I guess not minor, but Marshon Lattimore has been ruled out tomorrow.
Not surprised. He didn't play last week either. I mean, I think they traded for him with the knowledge he wasn't fully healthy
at that
point.
He wasn't ready to go.
But that's good for the Eagles. Okay,
yep.
So we got no Lattimore tomorrow.
No Lattimore. And Paul George and Embiid out tonight.
Oh, what a shock. As the Sixers. Well, everyone's shocked here at Klondike Kates.
Who didn't know that was coming? Who didn't know that was coming?
Well, maybe Embiid was just trolling you. Maybe he was going to play the whole
time. That's the thing right there that kind of, like, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we looked at the line in the game about a half hour ago, it was 9.5-point favorite, the Cavaliers. I had a feeling at least one wasn't going to play, but now we know both are not going to play. So, no Embiid, no Paul George tonight. All right, 215-592-949. Back to your phone calls on Combo Con and, of course, Jalen Hurts and Joel Embiid in a few minutes. But, Hugh, you know what we have?
What we got?
We have our first real, like, juicy Phillies rumor of the offseason.
We got juicy rumors?
Yeah, we do have juicy rumors. So, we did talk a little bit yesterday how Alec Boehm, according to Jeff Paston, is officially on the trade block.
Yeah,
right?
they're shopping him.
Yeah, they're shopping Alec Boehm. I'm not surprised. But naturally, Hugh, when you say that, someone's going to respond with, okay, who's playing third base then, right? If you're getting rid of Alec Boehm, who's going to be the third baseman next year? Because for as much as I'm not the biggest Boehm fan, he is productive. He is a good hitter, right?
Yeah.
He hit, you know, fourth or fifth for basically the entire season. So if he's not here, all right, well, you better find someone good to replace him. Well, according to Buster Only, they could be finding someone good to replace him. This is a tweet from Buster last night of ESPN. Quote, the most interesting prediction heard from a rival evaluator. The Phillies land Alex Bregman. His swing translates in that park. Strong defense. Lots of postseason scar tissue. Hugh, my first thought is I love this. Alex Bregman is a really, really good player. He's two-time World Series champion. He's a good hitter. He's never struck out 100 times in a season. I could hit him second in the order and drop Trey down. He hits for more power than Boehm. he's just like, he's a better Alec. He's better than Alec Bohm. I mean, I would try to do this in a heartbeat and then use Bohm maybe to go get something else. Hugh, what's your initial reaction to this one? Because now it's connecting them to the best third baseman available.
You know, he gave you 26 homers last year. I like that. Yep. You know, hit 260. He fits the mold as far as how old he is.
Like 31, he's
the 30. Well, he'd be 31 during the course of the season.
I think opening day, he turns 31.
Yeah. So I like this. I like this. And then you're talking about somebody who you put him in the middle of the order like he is. He's not. You're not worried about the whole order going as cold as they did this postseason.
So not only does he hit for some, he hits for more power than Bohm. He's a good average hitter. He walks a good amount. He's never struck out 100 times. Also, he's been really good in the playoffs in his career.
He has,
I think, 19 career postseason homers. He's won the two World Series with the Astros.
Yeah, you got a couple more guys on that squad that have won World Series. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Right. I just lost my faith in Bohm. I just feel like he's well,
here's the thing, Joe, and this is how I looked at
it.
You know, even though at the end of the season, you know, you ran it back. You went as far as you did the other year. You know, got beat by Arizona. So then you ran it back. You can't stay the same and expect different results.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's the thing that resonated with everybody. You know, they played better. They had a better regular season, but in the postseason, it was much ado the same thing. So you can't be the same team and thinking that you're going to have different results.
And I'm getting to the point right now, I just don't believe Bohm's built for October. His numbers have been bad in the postseason in his career here. And it doesn't always feel with Alec Bohm like he's about to just cry when things go bad. Like, I just don't feel he has the...
He had an emotional time, no question.
Yeah, well, he got benched. Let's listen to this. A.J. Pierzynski, who covered the Phillies-Mets series for Fox, he does the Foul Territory podcast. Listen to him yesterday. Here, this is a former big leaguer, right? This isn't just, like, some guy. Former big leaguer who was covering the series, was around the team. Listen to A.J. on Bohm and kind of why maybe they're sour on him a little bit.
Here's the biggest thing I'll say with Alec Bohm after being around the Phillies for about a week in the playoffs and then seeing he needs to improve things, not his performance. Let's just say that. There's some people around that organization that aren't huge fans of the way he acts sometimes. And I'm just going to leave it at that, but there are some people that have said he needs to basically grow up a little bit. There are some things that he's done that people that, you know, he got benched in the playoffs, basically. If you remember, what was it, game three, he got benched for Sosa.
You think that had to do with something else or just underperformance? Or not going to say?
It had to do with both.
Got it.
From people, and this didn't come from, you know, this came from people around the Phillies.
Yep.
I'm not saying Dave Dombrowski or Sam Fold or Rob Thomas, none of those people, but it came from people that are around and have a lot of knowledge about the Phillies that he needs to take the next step as a maturing adult. Well, and I think that people, if you watch the Phillies games all the time, and Kratz, you watch them all the time, you know what I'm talking about.
Hugh, that's a red flag. And Bohm, you know, we talk about him like he's still a young player. Hugh, Bohm's going to turn 29 next season, right? Mm-hmm. He's not 23 or 24 where you kind of say, all right, let's give him a little runway to kind of grow into this. This is who he is. And it just feels like when you're getting benched in the playoffs for being overly emotional, that signals to me that, like, this isn't the first time they've thought about this or noticed this. And it got to a breaking point.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It got to the point this year where they was like, listen, we can't really deal with this. And that is the problem that they have. And it's unfortunate because there's a young man, you were talking about, they called it the daycare. Looked like he was going to be a big part of this.
Yep.
Was it last year, the year before that, where they went into a little bit of a hitting slump early in the season? No, it was the year after. It was not last year, but the year before that, where they went into a little bit of a hitting slump. And it was Marsh and Bohm that kind of carried the team throughout that. And to have him just kind of get stagnant the way that he did last year, yeah, it's time to change some things. And you're not going to change the core guys. Trey Turner's going to be here whether or not you like it or not. Bryce Harper's going to be here. Schwarber's going to be here, probably going to be the leadoff hitter.
Wheeler and Nola.
Yeah, all those guys, they're going to be here. So when you talk about changing this thing around, it was obvious that was probably going to be one of the young guys.
Yeah, and I think you can get something for Bohm back. Maybe get a relief pitcher and put him in the bullpen, and I would sign Bregman. Also, one more last thing on Bregman that I think is important. He's top 20 in chase rate, Hugh. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Like, he's what they need. They need more of that. I'm all in on this idea to sign Bregman, and I would trade Alec Bohm. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. The audio there from Brzezinski. Obviously, all the Embiid stuff from last night. And Jalen Hurts, have we underrated the season he actually is having here? Andy's in Queen Village. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Andy. What are you thinking?
Just, I'm a little on the older side, so I've seen a lot of things go up and down. I just think people in Philadelphia should stop a little on the hyperventilating. There's a big difference between the player and the person. I agree that sometimes the person has to show what he's got inside to be able to be a great player. But we've had a lot of players over this year that were over in Philadelphia history that were great players that people didn't like. Mike Schmidt was the guy people didn't like. Charles Barkley got caught spitting on a girl in the stands. People didn't like him for that. So you don't like Joel. I get that. What happens if in the next 10 games, the Sixers go 8-2, Joel plays 7 of them, and he puts up 30 and 15 every game? Then all of a sudden, the whole conversation changes. People are going to forget what you were talking about before, and we're going to start all over again. So I just don't think people should get so hot and so cold
I'm
on
raising,
these things.
I'm raising my hand because I'm trying to understand what is the purpose of this phone call. I mean, you're trying to make it sound like I am not allowed to be confused by the way Joel Embiid handled what was said to him last night and what was said last week. I didn't say anything about his basketball acumen. I didn't say anything about that. It's just that if you're gonna be up in arms about what somebody says about you that you deem personal and then come back and say, you know, you're trolling people, that's not the same energy. So exactly, I guess I'm asking, what are you trying to defend right now?
Well, I hear what you're saying, Hugh, and I understand there's some confusion of that. What I'm saying is it's a long season and a lot of things that happen. Sometimes Joel, he was out of control last night when he commented on what kind of that happens. What I'd like to see is that rather than people, and I've heard some guys call up to say, oh, that guy's done. I'll never cheer for him. I can't stand the guy, blah, blah, he's a loser, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe. But 10 games from now, if the Sixers win 8 of those 10, and he's putting up 30 and 15, that same guy's going to call back and say, it was wrong about
maybe.
Joel. He maybe does some strange things.
I have a question, though, Andy, because you brought up a lot of and good points. Like, Mike Schmidt didn't have the greatest relationship with the town. Obviously, Barkley, all that stuff. But you said it's 10 games of this season. It's also 10 years of evidence. I just have this question for you, Andy, because you obviously—
And he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, you've seen a lot in this town. So I want your thoughts. Yep. Do you think Joel Embiid takes the pursuit of a championship very seriously? Because I don't.
Well, I appreciate that we all have different opinions. Yes, I do. And I think when he lost it emotionally was a couple of years back when they didn't get there, I think that was evidence of it. Yeah, I think Joel's a Philadelphia guy, and I think he's doing his very best. I do. It's not easy being 7-2 in his situation and having the spotlight on you all the time. But do I think he wants to win? Yes. Does he want to win as much as Iverson did? Maybe not.
Well,
but
see, I think they all want to win. Like, they go to the court, they want to win. But there are certain, like, Kobe Bryant took it so seriously that he made it his life. And I think the best players do that. Steph Curry does it. Michael Jordan did it. LeBron James, although he's not a good.
Tyrese Maxey does it.
I think Tyrese Maxey has more of that than Joel does. Andy, I'm with you. And that's my frustration, that it's like I don't think he takes the whole thing seriously enough. Is he a great player? Of course he is.
I think the messaging is confusing.
Of course it is.
I mean, it's just, and that's to me is the biggest gripe that I have, because I look at it like this. Now, I don't know what it's like to be 7-2, but I know what it's like to bust my ass and work hard to accomplish something, and also know what it's like to be in a situation where I could control the narrative. And what I mean by that is this. If I know I haven't practiced in months, I'm going to make it my business to go out there in the...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
First time that I'm out there on the court and at least look like I've been doing something. Now, again, like you said, I don't know what it's like to be 7-2, and I don't know what Joel Embiid's regimen looks like on a day-to-day basis. But for a guy to be ramping up to play the season and that to be his first showing, he didn't give a lot of people a whole lot to like be happy about.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. What I'd like to do, though, is hopefully I'll call you back in 20 games, and you're going to say, you know, Andy, I remember that. We had that whole conversation.
And that'd be great. That means he's playing well.
If that's the case, then I'll say, hey, I was wrong. But at the end of the day, Andy, you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Well, that's true. Andy, good phone call. Give us a weird food combination.
I got the winner for you. And okay. I want everybody in the listening audience and you guys, when you go home for lunch today, to do this. Mm-hmm. Toast two slices of bread, your favorite bread. Cook up some bacon and put some peanut butter on that.
No, toast. Andy. No.
I'm telling you.
Andy, I like your
Andy.
I appreciate it.
And it's guaranteeing it, you.
No, I appreciate
it. I've seen this before.
Andy,
I appreciate the fact that we could have this conversation and handle each other like grown men and agree to disagree, but no.
Yeah.
So, hold on. He's talking
about the salty and sweet. No.
Yeah, so I actually don't.
I don't even want to hear it.
It's beyond salty and sweet.
You are blaspheming bacon.
I don't think this is going to win because I don't think this is a weird combination. This is a delicious combination.
This is the combination that you eat when you're pregnant.
No.
No. Actually,
this is a combination.
No, it's
I've been around someone pregnant
the women
twice.
I did as having with child. But that's not. That's nothing.
No, this is common in places like Thailand. And yeah, they do peanut butter
I'm not in Thailand. I'm in America.
Peanut butter and bacon is a good combination.
That was outrageous.
I had to.
A lot of the foods that we eat here in America come from other cultures. You understand that, right?
No. So,
Kyle, I'm not sure he does.
Bacon and peanut butter, stop it.
Try it. It's delicious.
No, I'm not trying it.
No, like peanut butter is very versatile, Hugh.
It's one of the most versatile.
No, peanut butter is versatile, yes. But it's not versatile with bacon.
I don't think it's that weird of a combo, though, by Andy.
But you know what, though, real talk? The more I say it, I'm kind of warming up to it a little bit.
You should.
Yeah. So
what's the sandwich called? The Elvis?
I think there might have banana on
banana
or something, too.
Banana is part of it.
First of all, anything that Elvis ate, no disrespect to the king, but did you see him on his way to go to the upper room?
You think that was because of a peanut butter?
Hell yeah.
No, well, I think Elvis, there might have been some other things in that system, man.
Elvis was rotund.
I know.
He was rotund.
He had a lot of other issues besides a peanut butter sandwich.
I want to make the case for that being in consideration. We ask for weird food combos, not bad ones.
But you know, that.
You're right. But I would think weird, like I've never really heard of it. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Okay.
The more I say it, though, the more I mean.
He was going to try
I would not be opposed to that.
No, you jumped the gun, Hugh.
I did.
You got on Andy.
I did. Andy,
you yelled at him for the wrong thing.
I think you're protective of bacon.
Yes, I am.
And we get that.
I just, you know how I feel about bacon, man.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I mean, the more I think about it, you get a nice little peanut butter.
Well,
I mean,
also, you're afraid of new things. We know that too.
Maybe put some jelly on there too.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, Hugh.
Andy,
this is growth.
I'm sorry.
Helped you grow today.
Yeah, that's amazing. That'll be the title of this episode of the podcast. Andy helps you grow. Black Gritty's up on WIP. What's up, Black Gritty?
Growth about to be stunning.
Yep.
You stunt your growth, lad. Stunt your growth. You might want to check your screener. This guy's out here bullying people with this tape.
Kyle! He thinks he could badger the witnesses. That's what happened.
That's what he did. I'm just saying, he's muddy in the waters. So, when you have Saquon Barkley, he's amazing. But if you don't have a quarterback, they just put 22 dudes in the box, and then they make you throw. And then they'll put you on the way to the quarterback. So it's hand-in-hand, it's tandem. But, I mean, MVP, that's the case. Henry's the MVP right now anyway. It's not Saquon. So he's got more touchdowns because, you know, the touch puts me stealing from him. But, I mean, that's why it's a team sport. It's a great debate to have. But if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't have anything. It all starts there. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's annoying to me, too, because I wish that somebody else could run for 2,000 yards. You're not going to get it. As far as Joel Embiid is concerned, the whole Sixers organization, Joe, you know, I've been calling and complaining for a long time. I'm about to really stop caring. Like, I love Maxey, McCain showing something. What's the point of even watching this team? If the star doesn't care and he's always hurt, and what am I caring about? Why am I watching the sport? What are they putting out there? And then they want to go and build some monstrous stadium somewhere? Who's going to go watch it? You going to go sit in traffic down the center city to go watch this? In 5 years, 10 years, we probably won't be good for another 10 years. It just, you put all these guys on paper. Paul George, why aren't you playing basketball, bro?
Like, what is, why aren't you playing basketball now? Like, it's just a bad product out there on the court night in and night out. And they're giving emotional damage in your heart, okay? And they might as well, Alec Bohm, can we retire to daycare? I need these dudes to grow up. We need to get rid of this crybaby and extinguish the daycare. No more daycare. I need adults. I need at least toddlers or something. You know what I mean? Can I send them off to first grade? Because him crying every game was embarrassing anyway. We all know his attitude was bad, right?
Of course it was. He got benched in a playoff game because he's crying and on the dugout. It's crazy.
And again, we're hard in this city, but bro, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play the sport that you love. If you can't find something in that to get yourself out of it, then hold it till you get home. Cry when you get home. Okay? I'm not averse to crying. Men cry. Real men cry. I cry sometimes, but I don't do it out in the middle of my job. Okay. So get rid of them. Move on.
Ain't
move
nothing
out.
Wrong with crying, man.
Ain't no
nothing. But
crying,
I don't need
man.
My third baseman crying in the sixth inning of the game.
No, cool. not in the throes of a playoff.
I mean,
game.
Come on, like we gotta get it together.
And Hugh, one last thing. I'm not gonna give you no food because I ain't got nothing crazy because we black. We don't do that. But if they want you to expand your palate, Hugh, go ahead and try it. I mean, sometimes they be coming up with some stuff. Put some bacon on it.
I'm not gonna lie. The peanut butter. And the bacon, because I mean,
I think
I like
we
bacon.
Sold you on
and
this.
Then if I put enough bacon on it, I might not even taste the peanut
no,
butter.
No, but peanut butter is a strong taste, though.
And I'll tell you something about Hugh Douglas. You'll eat anything with bacon on it.
We found that out.
I put some bacon on that thing.
All right, there he goes, Black
he
Gritty.
Put some bacon on that thing. It's a party.
I haven't seen a 180 like this in a long time.
No, because
you were ripping Andy, and now you're like, actually, I'm going to do this.
I was being closed-minded, but then the more I kept saying, I was like, bacon and peanut butter. Bacon and peanut butter.
I like this open-minded version of
you. I was thinking,
where is this during the defensive debate?
With a light crusting of peanut butter. It ain't got to be a heavy crusting. It could be a light. We start off mild with the light crusting.
Yeah.
And then throw about 8, 10, 12 pieces of bacon on that thing. Yay. We can do that. We can do that all day.
12 pieces on a sandwich?
8, 10, 12. Man, listen. Who was it? The other day. You know when I used to get the big old packets of bacon?
Oh, from Hatfield.
From Hatfield.
You know when they bring it in? Yeah.
Yeah. It is nothing for me. I don't even – you know how when most people, most normal people, most red-blooded Americans, they take the bacon off as a slice of one piece at a time? I got a big-ass pot.
You just put the whole thing in?
And I just put the whole thing in and put the lid on the pot and just let it do what it do. Then I just pick the pieces out, and then I just eat the bacon.
Yeah, it feels to me like there's an untapped market for a Hugh Douglas cooking show on YouTube. Just put the whole thing.
Caveman cooking with Hugh
Douglas.
It's
going to be the same
like
five meals.
No, it's not. I've diversified my palate.
Sure.
Like the other day, I had some honey nut Cheerios. It was awesome.
Wow, dude, you're – that's
did you just
so
say you
adventurous.
Diversified your palate
yes,
with honey nut Cheerios.
Cheerios. I had
how
some
old
honey
are
nut
you? Seven?
Hey, no, listen, honey nut Cheerios for grown
folks. What's tomorrow? Dino Nuggets.
No.
Honey Nut Cheerios for grown folks?
But you know what's funny, though?
You put whiskey in there instead of milk?
Not the Dino Nugs, but I got the smiley face French fries.
All right, that's enough. 215-592.
Don't sleep on them smiley face French fries
now. They are good.
You eat your kids' French fries.
They're good fries. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, coming up on the aside, we'll get to as many calls as we can. ComboCon, your chance at an incredible prize, courtesy of Jack Daniels and Gerhardt's Appliances, the ultimate tailgate giveaway. Looking for weird food combos. Your calls on Embiid, Bohm, and for underrating the season, Jalen Hurts has had. Plus, we come back, some cool mic'd up moments from the Eagles' win against the Cowboys this weekend. Finally, someone on this team gets it. That's next. Midday Show, live from Klondike Kate's on Sports Radio 94. WIP. And if you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports, because you cover with the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now, every Wednesday, you can get a parlay profit boost on everything from spreads to overruns or even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Who knows? It might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Days Parlays reward stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. New to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.